chapter 9 this morning. I tell you, I appreciate the presence of God in this place this morning. Appreciate what God is doing. Amen. Psalms chapter number 9. If you'll stand with us, I want to read one verse of Scripture and then bring the message that God's laid upon our heart. And I pray that God will use it this morning to help us. Psalms 9 and verse number 17. The Bible said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would speak to every heart. I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, that they'd be saved this morning. Pray the Holy Spirit would reveal their need for salvation, their need for Christ. I pray, God, that you would give us the liberty and the vocabulary that we need this morning to say what you've put on our heart to say. And I ask that the Spirit of God would minister to every soul, and may you be glorified, and may you be magnified this morning, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want us to think about verse number 17 this morning, and as we think about this verse, the verse before us is really, we know, a verse about judgment. And however, I want to say this morning that it's not just dealing with judgment, but it's dealing with a prophetic judgment. If you go back and study Psalms chapter number 9, it reveals three things in this chapter here. He reveals God's righteous redemption to the elect, talking about the nation of Israel. David wrote it in his time, but prophetically speaking, in the mind of God, it wasn't just talking about the situation and the circumstance that David was going through, but prophetically he was talking about the nation of Israel and how that there would come a day when God would bring that nation back together, as we're seeing that take place before our very eyes. And Psalms chapter 9 deals with God's righteous redemption for his elect. And then it talks about God's righteous resistance of evil, how that God will not only redeem Israel, but God is going to resist this world for all of its wickedness and for all of its evil. Then this psalm talks about God's righteous rule over this earth, how that in the end, and we know that there's going to come a 7-year tribulation period, there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign, and during that millennial reign Jesus Christ will rule from the throne of David there in the nation of Israel, in the city, the holy city, the city of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be the capital of the entire world. And the Bible said in Revelation 19 that he'll rule this earth with a rod of iron for 1,000 glorious years. Thank God he'll be large and in charge, and he's large and in charge right now. Amen. But he's going to rule this earth, and the Bible said that the whole world will be full of the knowledge of God, and there'll be holiness on the bells of horses and a highway of holiness, and streams will be in the desert as it blooms like a rose. And the Bible said the child will play in the crocodile's den, and thank God the leopard and the lion and the ox will lay down together. And the Bible said that the lion will eat straw like an ox, and the Bible said that the noonday sun will shine brighter. The sun will shine brighter than the noonday sun. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful time during that 1,000-year reign. Amen. But when we come to our verse this morning, I want you to see here that this verse teaches us about God's judgment. Amen. And it teaches us that God's judgment is both personal, and thank God it's also public. He talks about here in this verse that God will hold man and society accountable for the deeds that he has done and the seeds that he has sown. As the Bible said, that the wicked, talking about man, shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Amen. And I want us to zero in on that text for a few moments this morning, and I want us to think about our nation. And I want to borrow a title from an old book that was written years ago, on America is Too Young to Die. I want to preach on that subject this morning, on America is Too Young to Die. You see, Brother Gravely, why would you preach that? Because it's what God put in my heart this morning. America is currently 247 years old. Soon, if Lord willing, to celebrate her 248th birthday here in just a few weeks. But we're reminded that the golden age of empires ended shortly after 200 years of existence. And when you think about where America is at today, America is a sin-sick nation. Amen? And when we think about the decline of those empires, and we think about the stages in which that they begin to deteriorate and begin to decay, it is nothing more than prophetically speaking about the nation in which we live in today. For they would go from bondage to faith, from faith to courage, and from courage to liberty, and from liberty to abundance, and from abundance to selfishness, and from selfishness to complacency, and from complacency to apathy, and from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back to bondage again. Does that not speak about the current state of our nation this morning? I'm telling you, when you think about where America is on God's timetable this morning, I think you'll agree with me that America does not need a stronger economy system. America needs God. Amen. And America this morning does not need a greater military. America needs revival. Amen. It doesn't need a greater Republican majority. She just needs God. Amen. She doesn't need a higher education system, but she needs revival in the land. I'm saying, my friend, that America is in trouble. And this morning, the hope of America is not in the White House, but it's in the church house. And at 247 years of age, America is simply too young to die this morning. In 1979, a man by the name of Edward Gibbon cites five primary causes for the dissolution of a great society. When he wrote those five causes, he was talking about the destruction of the Roman Empire, the mighty Roman Empire that it seemed like could never be taken down. After it was taken down, a careful study, Gibbon said there was five things, and I want you to think about these five things this morning, not in light of the Roman Empire, but think about it in light of 2024 and America. He said the first thing that my friend, that was the decay of a great society, was the rapid increase in divorce and the undermining of the sanctity in the home. Amen. He said the second would be the spiraling rises of taxes and extravagant spending. He said the third would be the mounting crave for pleasure and the brutalization of sports. We're talking about the Roman Empire, not America. He said the fourth would be the building of gigantic armaments and the failure to realize that the real enemy lay within the gates of the empire in the moral decay of its people. Then finally, the fifth would be the decay of religion and the fading of faith into a mere form, leaving the people without hope and without a guide. Dear friend, I would say this morning that is the blueprint and the path of our nation that it's been on for the past 50 years. For in the 60s, America lost her morality. In the 70s, she lost her decency. In the 80s, she lost her sanity. In the 90s, she lost her security. And in the 21st century, America is losing her liberty. Amen. And the end result is this, is that, my friend, we have went from being one nation under God to one nation under judgment. Amen. And friend, if there's ever been an hour, if there's ever been a time when men of God need to preach and the people of God need to pray and we need to witness and we need to win souls, it's the hour we're living in right now. That, my friend, for America is going down the slippery slope of sin and going to hell in a handbasket this morning, and we must do everything we can to turn our nation back to God. Amen. My friend, we need help this morning. And when we come to this one verse that I've read to you this morning, I want you to think about four simple truths in it and we'll be done. Number one, I want you to see the sinners that's in this judgment. For the Bible said in verse number 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. God is a God of judgment. And when we come to verse 17, we see the sinners. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. Let's think about the wicked for just a few moments this morning. Let's think about the wicked and their attitude.
When we think about this society that we're living in, I think you'll agree with me that America has become a wicked society. Isn't that right? What I mean by that is that profanity is their language. Amen. Perversion is their thinking. Perversion is in every avenue of America. I'm talking about it's in the entertainment world. It's filtered into the sports world. It's in the music industry. It's even into politics. There's not a commercial. There's not a news clipping that what they do not put out nowadays, that they don't have some form of perversion or indecency or immorality that's posted upon it. And the slogan in 2024 is and has been for several years that sex sells. And the reason that is because this nation and society as a whole is perverted in its thinking. Amen. It's profane in its language. Persecution is their theology. What they want to do is they want to shame and humiliate and guilt anyone that believes in decency and righteousness and holiness. What is that? That's the wicked, friend. And we think about their attitude. Prosecution is their answer. They want to lock us up in our homes. They want to lock us up in jail. They want to silence the majority. They want to take away free speech. They want to take away anyone that wants to go against the tide, that wants to go against the grain, that will not conform to their ideology and their way of thinking. Why is that? It's because they're wicked this morning, and we see the wicked in their attitude. Amen. Not just the wicked in their attitude, but in their actions. They praise the ungodly while mocking the holy. They call evil good and good evil. They punish the moral and reward the filthy. I'm saying this morning they magnify sodomy and mock the home. They promote alcohol and adultery and all types of immorality and laugh at sin and scoff at sin. They've legalized gambling and marijuana and stealing. You know, in California today, you can steal up to $999. And listen, they won't even handcuff you and take you to jail. And decent people that have worked their whole lives and built little small mom and pop businesses just to keep their family, feed their family, and have paid taxes, are now closing down shop, and they're leaving the state because two or three swipes through with a generation that thinks that they're entitled to everything just about puts them out of business, and that's exactly what they want. I'm saying they're wicked in their actions, they're wicked in their attitude this morning, and they're wicked in their agenda. They save whales and murder babies. Legalize pornography. Mock modesty. Reward the lazy and rob hard-working, self-sufficient people that get up every morning and work a hard day's labor. They give to the illegal while taxing the citizens of this country. They destroy our natural habitats while all the time claiming to save it. I'm saying hypocrisy is, my friend, who they are and what they're about. They tear down our monuments and despise our Constitution and do everything they can to cancel our culture and to erase our history. Why? Because they're, my friend, they're wicked this morning. My friend, they give money to terrorists and they want to lock up a president that worked for 4 years and never received a paycheck. Why? Because they're wicked. They want to destroy our borders, lie to our faces, silence our voices. My friend, they want to drive. They're driven by money and power and greed and Satan this morning. And my friend, they're wicked is what they are. The only thing more disgraceful than the long laundry list of things that I just read to you is so-called Christian people that don't have a backbone to even say amen to what's being said anymore. Why is it in America that we have a president that I didn't approve of his profanity and I didn't approve of his lifestyle, but for 4 years, you know what I heard Christian people say? Well, I wish he'd quit tweeting. I wish he'd quit saying some of the things that he said. I mean, my Lord, you finally got somebody that'll stand up and get behind a microphone and say something that we've talked about around the table time and time again. And it's not the world wanting him to hush up. It's so-called church members. Amen. Now, Now, some of you can roll your lip back in right now because I plan on preaching this morning. Amen. I'm fully aware it's Mother's Day, but I'll tell you, it is the Lord's Day. Amen. And it's what God gave me to preach, so I just plan on preaching it until I'm done this morning. I'm telling you, we're in trouble in this country because we've sat on our blessed assurance for too long, and we've been quiet too long in this country. And I'll tell you what God wants to do is wake us up and bring us back to where we need to be at. This is a wicked generation.
The Bible says in Romans 1 and verse 28 that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Titus 1:16 said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work a reprobate. Amen. What they want to do is indoctrinate your children with their so-called educational system, pervert your children with their drag queens and their same-sex marriages, and everybody using the same bathroom in their sodomite clothing. They want to intimidate your children to thinking that anyone that questions their agenda is guilty of hate speech, racism, and a whole lot of other things. Listen, they are against family, faith, freedom, the flag, patriotism, prayer, and old time preaching. Amen. I want to say I'm for every single one of those things I've just mentioned. I thank God for the home. God instituted the home before he instituted the church, and it was one man and one woman. It was male and female. Amen. And there's only two genders, by the way. There's male and there's female, and thank God, listen, though God gave them a commandment, my friend, to reproduce, and by the way, that's the only ones that can reproduce. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the sinners in this judgment, and then the seriousness of this judgment. Look what God said in this verse: the wicked shall be turned into hell. Talking about our land this morning. I'm talking about a land that was once full of Bibles, rock altars, cottage prayer meetings, protracted revivals, the power of God. Talking about a land that at one time everybody went to church on Sunday. And they stood against, they fought prohibition, and they stood against alcohol and moonshine. And listen, there was a time in this country when even sinners, my friend, had enough convictions and decency to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They taught them to stand at the pledge of the allegiance and to cross their heart and the pledge to our flag and our nation. My friend, they taught them to go to war and to fight for a cause that was worth fighting for, and to stand for their country and to serve their country. They taught them to go to church on Sunday and to sing and to worship and to pray. They taught them, my friend, to live a decent life and to work hard, and my friend, to raise good families and to raise children up with good principles and good character. But we're living in a different land today. We live in a land that is full of drugs, a land, my friend, drugs are everywhere, a land that is full of death. Chattanooga has more murders going on right now and last year in the last 5 years than it ever has. Land of death, land of drugs, you can get a pill for anything. A land full of danger, even the police are being attacked in our society. A land full of defilement. I hadn't been to the mall, and I couldn't tell you how long. And a few months ago during Christmas time, I went to the mall, and I'm not against you going to the mall. Don't misunderstand me, but I tell you, I walked through the mall having not probably been 2 years, I reckon, since I've been to the mall. And I walked through the mall, Brother Laddie, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was embarrassed. I was shocked. Amen. I'll tell you what I did. I did my business and got out of there as fast as I could for fear. And I wasn't in a bad store, but I didn't even want to walk down the main walkway for fear I might run into somebody. Amen. I'm talking about ungodly, indecent pictures plastered all over the glass way for our children and grandchildren to look upon. Hey, you listen, you don't got to worry about your children. Listen, in this world, all you got to do is take them to the mall. They'll see more than you want them to see. It's a filthy generation, full of defilement. A land full of destruction. I've been to most of our, not all, but many in most of our major cities, passing through them. Many of them are filthy. Buildings that are decaying and destroying. No character, no decency. A land full of devils. It's harder to preach to this generation than any generation. I'll tell you why. Because they're out of touch with reality. It's a demon-possessed generation. I'm not telling you everybody's got a devil in them, but I'm telling you there's a reason dogs don't go mad and pigs don't go mad like they used to, and animals don't go mad. You know why? Because them devils don't need them bodies to get in no more, like in Mark chapter 5. There's enough people walking around with devils in them, amen. I'm talking about a generation that is sucked into a world of technology and fantasy. They've lost sight of reality and common sense. Their minds are so numb and so desensitized that they can no longer hear the voice of God speaking to them anymore. Listen, they don't have a God conscience. They have been pulled into everything. We're living in devilish times of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And friend, if there's ever been a time when we need some old time preaching, and we need folks, my friend, to stand where it needs to be counted, it's the hour we're living in right now. Our nation is being turned into hell. Hellish music, hellish movies, hellish magazines, hellish video games, hellish internet sites, hellish theaters and activities. What is happening to America is our greatest fear this morning. It's not Russia. It is not China. My friend, it is not the Middle East this morning. Our greatest fear this morning is the moral decay that is going on within our very borders this morning. It's not some other nation that's going to take us down. I'm here to tell you this morning, my friend, America is playing Russian roulette, my friend, roulette with God. They have put the gun to their own head, and morally we are decaying from the inside out this morning. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And then I see not only the sinners in this verse, in this judgment, the seriousness of this judgment. But I want you to think with me for just a few moments about the scope of this judgment. Look what the Bible says here. And all the nations. And all the nations this morning. That means the small nations. The strong nations. Nations of great notoriety. Superpowers of the past. The Roman Empire has fallen. Greece has fallen. On and on we could go down through the Babylon has fallen. I mean, just over and over, there's not been an empire, I want to tell you, that has ever lasted. You think about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is the only nation that has this promise this morning, not because they were the greatest, God said, but he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love because you were the fewest of all people. And that little nation will go through a literal hell on earth during the tribulation period for the purpose of that period, my friend, is to purge this world of sin and righteousness and of judgment, but it's also to purge Israel of unbelief. It'll take a 7-year tribulation, a holocaust of all holocausts, to bring that nation out, that little rose red city where they look to the Lamb of God coming down the Mount of Olives one day with blood dripping off his vesture and running to the horse's bridle. It'll be then that the scales will fall off their eyes, and a nation will be born in a day, but only then, after God has reached judgment from the four corners of this earth, until 2/3 of the vegetation and 2/3 of the ship industry has been broken up and burned up, God will bring them to light. God will not let sin go unjudged. And this morning, God is a God of mercy, a God of love, and he's a God of peace. But he's a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, the message is that Jesus loves you and he died for you and he wants to save you. But you have to repent of your sins. You have to realize that you are a sinner And that, sinner, you are under the judgment of Almighty God. That one day, it's not just going to work out in the end. You and Jesus don't have your own thing going. It's not going to be one day that, well, I think me, he's not the man upstairs. He's the God of heaven and earth and hell and the God of the ages, and he's the God that put breath in your body. And every time you hear some lost heathen use that phrase, the man upstairs or the good man or the good book, I'm going to tell you why they say that. Because they don't want to acknowledge that there is a God. Why don't they just say God? Amen? Why don't they say Lord? Why don't they call him who he is? No, the world has given him their own name. They have given him their own label, but it will not stand on judgment day. The scope of God's judgment is that it will reach as far back from the book of Genesis, and it will run all the way through the Revelations. And the Bible said that they will all stand before God one day. Those that have shaken their fists in the face of a just God will stand before him. Those that have trusted their religious works and their goodness will stand before him. Those this morning that have put confidence in themselves and denied the word of God and rejected the gospel and rejected the message, one day will stand before God. Every king, every captain, every prince, every nobleman, every one prime minister, those that have led this world and men that have relished in power and authority will one day stand before Almighty God to give an account for themselves, by themselves, of the deeds that they have done and the seeds that they have sown. And God Almighty, my friend, will have the last say in all of our life. And there is a reckoning day for every man, woman, boy, and girl, and for every nation. Finally, I want you to see this morning not only the scope of this judgment, but I want you to see the sign of this judgment. Why would God turn the wicked and every nation into hell? The answer is in our verse this morning. Because they forget God. America has deserted him, defied him, despised him. We've kicked the two most important things in life out of our public school systems, prayer and the Word of God. We've kicked God out of the public school. We've taken the Ten Commandments off the courthouse lawn and out of our schools. But the most shocking thing about this verse is that those things were not given to the public schools and the courthouse. They were given to God's people. If there's anything that pains the heart of God more than anything on earth where people have forgotten him, it's not in this wicked society, but it's in the church. This morning, while we sit here in our Sunday best, the church as a whole is sick and dying. She's full of worldliness and contentment, complacency and apathy and arrogancy. People don't fear the man of God. They don't fear God's message like they used to. She's full of entertainment and self-promotion, while lacking in prayer and lacking in power and lacking in praise. And most are slow to come into church, but they want to hurry and get out. And most think that church is about what they can get rather than what they can give. Church has nothing to do with what I get out of it this morning. Church has everything to do with what I can give. My time, the first fruit of my increase, my presence, my amens, my hand to be raised that can still be raised,
coming to church, my attention. I'm telling you, God help, if you got a cell phone and you're on your cell phone while I'm preaching, I hope the thing blows up right in your face. Amen. God help your sorry soul. And listen, if you come to church and you turn a cell phone on and you don't have no more respect for the house of God, I'm not talking about you got a sick mother. I'm talking about you sitting there watching something on while you're sitting in the house of God. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, you ought to be the first to get in the altar and get right with God. Now, if you're lost, I ain't worried about it. But if you're saved this morning and claim to know God, you ought to carry your Bible to church, and you ought to come to church with your mind on Him. Amen. Children and grandchildren going to hell and you're on a cell phone in church. This morning, our church, is about giving. What have I given? Our commitment, our obligation, our responsibility. People say things, well, I'm too old now. It's time for me to set back. I'm going to tell you something. I want to serve God till I draw my last breath, don't you? I may not always be able to do what I can do today, but I'll tell you, I'm going to find something to do for God. I'm telling you, if I get immobile, I'll sit at the house and pray for everybody else if I can't do nothing else. I want to keep serving God, don't you? He's been too good to all of us to just sit at ease in Zion and just sit back. I'm telling you, there's no retirement plan down here. We're to serve God. We're to be soldiers. We're to be servants. We're to give God our absolute best. Jesus gave His best at Calvary. I don't have to be the best, but I ought to give my best. Amen. We've become numb to the deadness, the defilement. Most think this morning, as they sit in church, they're more concerned about what goes on out there than what's happening in here. We have preachers today who are fighting battles that have no real impact on eternity. They trust their intellect more than prayer. There's a major lack of the filling of the Holy Ghost and wisdom that only comes through prayer this morning. Spiritual boldness that has compassion for the tears of lost souls and lost humanity. This morning, the brokenness that can only come when God pulls the scales back and lets us see, as the songwriter said, our mothers and our fathers and our children sinking down this morning. I'm telling you today, would to God that He could roll back the curtain one more time of our hearts and break up the fallow ground and bring us to a place this morning where we'll weep once again, where we'll get serious about our Christian service for God. We must have revival. The lack of commitment and dedication, consecration to the ministry is evident. When all even preachers care about nowadays is golfing and hunting and fishing and restaurants, and love offerings. God help us. We must pray for revival. We must pray for America. She's too young to die. We must turn back to God. We must repent of our sins. We must get serious about our walk and our service. We must lay aside every weight. We must let go of the petty little things that church members fuss about, that one day it grieves the Holy Spirit to the point that it causes souls to go to hell. Because we're sitting around consumed with our little world and all of its activities and all the things that happen. You know, we have to live life, don't we? I would never want to condemn anybody. God gave you a life. He gave you a family to love, to enjoy, and live that life. All of my family was around the table this week at one point for the first time in several weeks. And I enjoyed that little time we had together. There's no sin in none of that. But the sin comes when we care more about the life that we're living for ourselves than we do for Him. God put us on this earth. He gave us life and He saved us. He rescued us from the burning. For one reason, so that we could live for Him and tell others about Jesus Christ. And this morning, young people, I want you to know,
America's too young to die. And you're too young to die. And God has given you a place on the side of the road here where you can still come to church and feel the breeze of another world come in. Where it's not formality. Where it's not just all a social gathering. Where he still works and he still moves. And this morning, what we need to do from the pulpit to the very last pew this morning, we need to, number one, be grateful. But number two, we need to take our Christian service and our Christian life seriously this morning. We need to give God our absolute best. And we need to determine that if no one goes with me, I'll still follow Jesus. It's not just a cliche this morning. But I'd really rather be an old-time Christian, wouldn't you? Than anything I know. Isn't that right? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you would rather be an old-time Christian than anything you know this morning? God help us today. Do you know anybody in your family that's going to hell? And does it burden you this morning? Does it burden me? Sinner, you walk out of this building this morning and you don't make it to another service. You'll spend eternity in hell thinking about this service. I don't know how many people's here lost this morning, but I mean this with all my heart. If I could come to your pew and get on my knees and beg you, and I wouldn't be the only one this morning. There'd be a whole lot of people here. If I could beg you to come and get saved this morning, I would. But you can't come for me. You can't come because I beg you to come. You can't come for a family member or a friend. You got to come this morning because you want to be saved. If you die without God this morning, you'll go to hell. What's happened to our churches today? When hell should be a subject that's preached on often. But how many churches do people sit in Sunday in and Sunday out, and it's never even mentioned anymore? Almost as if it don't even exist. I say this generation deserves the same opportunity to get a hold of old-time religion that we've had. But it cannot happen if we're not what God wants us to be this morning. As we stand, America's too young to die, and there's hope for this nation. And the hope is in these walls this morning. Teenagers, you're the next hope for this country. It's not just your parents, and I don't say that, but thank God for your parents who have brought you here and want this. But you are the hope as well. Your life living for Jesus, you'll be the salt of this earth. Don't be satisfied. Are you saved? Are you right with God this morning? I don't know if you need to come. I won't judge you if you do or you don't. But I tell you, if the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart, then you do what the Holy Ghost tells you while we sing this morning. You have